Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. Listen to what the Amplified says. He says, "I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say." That's the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now, look at these scriptures right here. Exodus 4:12. I'm just going to read these here. He says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you should say." Now this is what God's telling a man of God. He said, "Go, I'll be with your mouth. I'm going to teach you what you should say." Numbers 23:5. "And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus shalt thou speak." So that tells me, I'm just highlighting these scriptures to you, just to encourage you and to strengthen your faith that God can put a word in your mouth. Amen. He told Jeremiah that, "I'm going to put my word in your mouth." Jeremiah 1:9-12 says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." God performs the word that he gives you to say when you speak it.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59:21 says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Not only should you be speaking the word, but you should teach your children how to speak the word. And your children's children.
Amen.
Grandparents, you got assignment.
Right.
Your life ain't over.
Right.
Just because you got some age.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're supposed to be teaching them children how to speak the word.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Well, I done raised my children. You know, you got them grandchildren.
That's right.
Amen. Them great grandchildren. That's the reason why you're still here. That's part of it. That may not be all of it, but that's part of it, because God wants you to impart what you've learned. You done lived all these years on earth. You ought to have some wisdom, a treasure chest of wisdom that you can pull out any situation and say, "Now, baby, let me tell you this here. This is what the word of the Lord say. Say this over your situation." God giving you what to say to your grandchildren. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 22:17-18 says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy mouth." If you will pay attention to the word, and have ears to hear what God is saying, and I mean, give God's word some attention, then God in turn will take that word that you've been meditating on and form it and fit it in your mouth for your situation. God will even put natural words in your mouth. You ain't got to always be quoting scripture. I can remember times that God put words in my mouth. Even before I got saved, after I got saved, words that he put in my mouth to say. And I didn't know that God had given me those words, but he gave me words that set a course in my life, set a direction and a path forward. When I was in college, I was a sophomore, an engineering student, and General Motors came to the campus. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know nothing about them coming or anything. I just happened to be with another guy named Greg Harrell. And he said, I need to go by and see Mr. Graham. He was over all the co-op at Southern for the engineers. He said, I need to go see Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham got something he wanted, some information he needed to give me. I said, okay, I'm going to go with you. So I'm standing there, and I'm not even in the conversation. I'm standing off to the side while he's talking to Mr. Graham, because Mr. Graham know me. We're all in taking his classes and stuff. And then he looked at me. He said, Mr. Tejada, that's what he's called me. He said, Mr. Tejada, he said, you won't go to this dinner with General Motors? I said, well, yeah, it's free, huh? It's a meal. Yeah, I'll go. I wasn't even thinking about no job. I'm thinking about fancy restaurant in Baton Rouge, Ralph and Cuckoo's, free. Yeah, I'll go. So I went, got on the interview schedule. Next day, I went in there that morning, and before I even sat down in the chair good, the man said, listen, I already got my engineer. I met somebody that interviewed earlier than you, and I'd already offered them the job. I only came to Southern to get one. He said, but I got a little time here. If you ain't got nothing to do, we can sit here and just talk, you know, got 30 minutes. So we just sit there and start having a conversation. Then that man asked me a question. He said, what do you like about your engineering classes? And I thought for a minute, I said, boy, I just love them design classes. When I said that, I rocked his world. His eyes got big. You like design? I said, yes, sir. He said, boy, we need some help in that area. He said, you like design? I said, why you like design? And I gave him a few reasons why I like my design classes. He said, is there a telephone around? I said, yeah, the assistant dean right around the hall. I said, come on, I'll help you find a phone. Man made a phone call, and I'm listening to him. He said, listen, I know I didn't come down here to Southern and get but one, but I found another one. Can I bring two with me? My whole life changed. Because I said one word, design. I didn't know that man, but that's what he was looking for. He offered me a job on the spot. I was known as what they call a GM scholar. I got scholarship money too. Gave me a scholarship to come work up there in the summertime. Then it gave me a guaranteed job plus scholarship money and making good money for a college student, over $2,000 a month. 30 years ago. Got on the phone that afternoon and said, Mama, I got offered a job in Detroit. She said, oh, Lord. Same thing I said. You know, Detroit back then was known as the murder capital of the United States. And a lot of murders up there and stuff. And then God moved on her heart. She said, well, you got to go where opportunity knocks. God opened the door for you. I guess you got to go. And there I was. Just going with a guy one day that asked me to come with him. And there I am, a couple of months later, two or three months later, there I am, going to Detroit. Spent two summers up there. I could go on and on about the power of words, and I'm going to say not just any old words, but the power of faith-filled words. And I define faith-filled words as words that have been spoken to you by God. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God for it. Now, that was the introduction. Now, I told you I had a short lesson for you. Joshua 1:8, everybody know it. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Before the word can be in your mouth, it must be in your ears and in your thoughts. If you're not hearing the word on a regular basis, then you limit the opportunities for God to really minister something great to you. Because he could be speaking to you and you just don't have ears to hear. Because the scriptures say, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. That means everybody not listening. Everybody don't have ears that hear. Sometimes God can be talking to people and they just turn him a deaf ear and say, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm, that ain't what I want. Hey, that ain't what I want. That ain't my will. No, I ain't doing that. You can accept God's will or reject God's will. But if you say, God, open my ears to hear, and I'm going to listen, and Lord, what you tell me, I'm going to say, and what I see you doing, the images that you plant in my heart, in my imagination, I see myself doing something because that's the image that you're giving me in my heart, I'm going to go follow it out. I'm going to act on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to say what he says. Amen. Do what I see him doing. That's what I want to do. Amen. And that's what I want us to do. Amen. Now, Exodus 15. Turn over there. Exodus 15, verse 25 and 26. I want to show you something here. And he cried unto the Lord, talking about Moses. And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, let me back up a little bit. Let me go back and read some of this. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So they traveled 3 days in the wilderness with no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What are we going to do? We've been 3 days in this desert. There ain't no water out here. What are we going to do? There was water there, but the water was bitter. That means that the water was bad. It was not drinkable. And look at what happened. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Guess what that tree was? The cross. God showed Moses Jesus in the wilderness. He showed him a tree, a cross. He showed him Jesus. And then look at what he says. Look what happened. And he showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Notice here that tree that represents Calvary, it represents the cross. It represents what Jesus did. He took all the bitterness out of life. Just took it. Just took everything that don't produce life and made it sweet. God can take the bitterness out of your life, and he's actually done that through the cross of Jesus Christ so that your life can be sweet.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship